Good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, good day, wherever you are. Hello, welcome to episode 6.5 of Revolutionary Rhetoric. Kanon is not with us today. We were unable to record a full episode this week. The timing just didn't work out due to some personal issues. So what I'm doing instead is just releasing the audio of a classic Marxist text that I've recorded for this special occasion. I mentioned in passing in the first first or second episode that I've been recording classic Marxist texts to keep as something of a database or a library of audiobooks of Marxist readings. For those of us that have either long commutes or just aren't able to read, sit down and read for whatever reason. So today I've chosen Combat Liberalism, written by Mao Zedong, in September 7th, 1937. I chose it for a couple of reasons. One, there's just a lot of disinformation, misinformation kind of coming out of everywhere. I mean, that's always been the case, but with everything going on with Palestine, it just seems like misinformation is at an all-time high. There's just a constant barrage of just blame and finger-pointing going back and forth between all of these different kind of liberal groups, for lack of a better term. I'm just getting kind of frustrated with the insincerity of modern liberalism. And for those of you kind of new to the party or new to the ideology, when we say liberalism, we don't mean just like capital L, you know, Nancy Pelosi liberals. Bad example, I guess, because she's dead now. But what we mean is kind of the idea of a neoliberal Western democracy, right? Like a liberal democracy. And some people mean literal liberal. Some people mean just the idea of a liberal democracy in general. I think what Mao is kind of referring to here in this text is something in between. The Chinese Communist Party was, this is before the Chinese Revolution. Chinese Communist Party was, the movement was growing. And this was written as a way to kind of ward off either class collaboration with liberals. Remember, as a leftist, you never want to, or as a communist, leftist, socialist, you never want to collaborate or compromise with liberals. When it comes down to it, liberal ideology is no different than, you know, a far-right ideology. Scratch a liberal and a fascist bleeds. Liberalism is just a stepping stone to fascism. Any allowance given to liberals or liberalism in a leftist movement will cause your structure to collapse. So don't do it. So this pamphlet, and I say pamphlet because it's not really a book, it was a short pamphlet released in the 30s, is just kind of almost like a bullet-pointed list of what to avoid, what to look out for in the case of liberalism. So without further ado, Combat Liberalism, Mao Zedong, September 7th, 1937. We stand for active ideological struggle because it is the weapon for ensuring unity within the party and the revolutionary organizations in the interest of our fight. Every communist and revolutionary should take up this weapon. But liberalism rejects ideological struggle and stands for unprincipled peace, thus giving rise to a decadent, philistine attitude and bringing about political degeneration in certain units and individuals in the party and the revolutionary organizations. Liberalism manifests itself in various ways. To let things slide for the sake of peace and friendship when a person has clearly gone wrong, and refrain from principled argument because he is an old acquaintance, a fellow townsman, a schoolmate, a close friend, a loved one, an old colleague, or old subordinate, or to touch on the matter lightly instead of going into it thoroughly, so as to keep on good terms. The result is that both the organization and the individual are harmed. This is one type of liberalism. To indulge in irresponsible criticism in private instead of actively putting forward one's suggestions to the organization. To say nothing to people to their faces but to gossip behind their backs. Or to say nothing at a meeting but to gossip afterwards. To show no regard at all for the principles of collective life but to follow one's own inclination. This is a second type. To let things drift if they do not affect one personally. To say as little as possible while knowing perfectly well what is wrong. To be worldly wise and play safe and seek only to avoid blame. This is a third type. Not to obey orders, but to give pride of place to one's own opinions. To demand special consideration from the organization, but to reject its discipline. This is a fourth type. To indulge in personal attacks, pick quarrels, vent personal spite, or seek revenge instead of entering into an argument and struggling against incorrect views for the sake of unity, or progress, or getting the work done properly. This is a fifth type. To hear incorrect views without rebutting them, and even to hear counter-revolutionary remarks without reporting them, but instead to take them calmly as if nothing had happened. This is a sixth type. To be among the masses and fail to conduct propaganda and agitation, or speak at meetings or conduct investigations and inquiries among them, and instead to be indifferent to them and show no concern for their well-being, forgetting that one is a communist and behaving as if one were an ordinary non-communist. This is a seventh type. To see someone harming the interests of the masses and yet not feel indignant, or dissuade or stop him or reason with him, but to allow him to continue. This is an eighth type. To work half-heartedly, without a definite plan or direction, to work perfunctorily and muddle along. So long as one remains a monk, one goes on tolling the bell. This is a ninth type. To regard oneself as having rendered great service to the revolution, to pride oneself on being a veteran, to disdain minor assignments while being quite unequal to major tasks, to be slipshod in work and slack in study. This is a tenth type. To be aware of one's own mistakes and yet make no attempt to correct them, taking a liberal attitude toward oneself. This is an 11th type. We could name more, but these 11 are the principal types. They are all manifestations of liberalism. Liberalism is extremely harmful in a revolutionary collective. It is a corrosive which eats away unity, undermines cohesion, causes apathy, and creates dissension. It robs the revolutionary ranks of compact organization and strict discipline, prevents policies from being carried through, and alienates the party organizations from the masses which the party leads. It is an extremely bad tendency. Liberalism stems from petty bourgeois selfishness. It places personal interests first and the interests of the revolution second, and this gives rise to ideological, political, and organizational liberalism. People who are liberals look upon the principles of Marxism as abstract dogma. They approve of Marxism, but are not prepared to practice it, or to practice it in full. They are not prepared to replace their liberalism by Marxism. These people have their Marxism, but they have their liberalism as well. They talk Marxism, but practice liberalism. They apply Marxism to others, but liberalism to themselves. They keep both kinds of goods in stock and find a use for each. This is how the minds of certain people work. Liberalism is a manifestation of opportunism and conflicts fundamentally with Marxism. It is negative and objectively has the effect of helping the enemy. This is why the enemy welcomes its preservation in our midst. Such being its nature, there should be no place for it in the ranks of the revolution. We must use Marxism, which is positive in spirit, to overcome liberalism, which is negative. A communist should have largeness of mind, and he should be staunch and active, looking upon the interests of the revolution as his very life and subordinating his personal interests to those of the revolution. Always and everywhere, he should adhere to principle and wage a tireless struggle against all incorrect ideas and actions, so as to consolidate the collective life of the party and strengthen the ties between the party and the masses. He should be more concerned about the party and the masses than about any private person, and more concerned about others than about himself. Only thus can he be considered a communist. All loyal, honest, active, and upright communists must unite to oppose the liberal tendencies shown by certain people among us and set them on the right path. This is one of the tasks on our ideological front. So there you have it, folks. That's me reading Combat Liberalism by Mao. Again, like I said, I just chose that because I just think it's so relevant. It's just, I mean, this was obviously also, just like I may have mentioned at the beginning, this is also very specific to, you know, liberal collaboration, liberals within a party, you know, liberals that are either, or current party members, current Communist Party members that are not quite far enough along in their kind of Marxist journey, and they maybe have liberal tendencies or being swayed by liberal ideas or liberal, you know, friends, family, whatever the case. So this is just a good way to kind of straighten them out and show them the path of where that leads and how to kind of avoid those tendencies whenever possible. Well, I'm going to stop rambling here, but as always, please follow us on social media. Links will be in the show description here. Revolutionary Rhetoric Podcast, basically everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Write us an email. Please let us know if you want us to talk about a certain subject, if there's something you really want to hear us talk about. Maybe we should do some kind of write the show and we'll read your, you know, answer questions live or something. I don't know. RevolutionaryRhetoric@gmail.com. Revolutionary Rhetoric Pod, everywhere you get your pod stuff. Join your local Communist Party, Communist Party USA. Well, we'll be back next week with the full episode. Until then, have a great day. Enjoy your week. Get out there and help somebody.